Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Survived the heat okay?
Yes, unfortunately, all my life I've wanted to have a pool outside my house, and I do now have
that. You do have that now.
Good for you.
It's really nice.
Of course it is, especially yesterday.
Especially in this kind of weather. Well, I can't keep the water cooling. I'm thinking of putting some icebergs in it or something. Because that sunlight just heats it up really fast.
It's almost like dipping into a bath then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You kind of just lay in there, you know, and as a bath, once in a while, after a while, it becomes not so hot. But it's I'm not complaining.
Nor should you.
No. So yesterday, for those who are who watch things political pretty closely, Congressman Ron Paul was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. Got a lot of good coverage, I'm sure. I'm sure like 4 million viewers or something like that, which is 10 to 20 times as much as you get on cable. And he interviewed him for a whole segment. It was like almost 15 minutes, I think. And I thought Ron Paul did a great job. Some of my colleagues are all upset because Stephanopoulos suggested that Ron Paul has no chance of winning. And so what?
Yeah,
Ron
right.
Paul answered the question.
Sure.
And you know, Stephanopoulos has to keep his credentials with his establishment press mates. You know, for having him on in the first place, he's got to at least say, well, you don't really have a chance of winning. And so I don't fault George. I actually thank him and ABC for having Ron Paul on. And the campaign keeps on moving forward. As the Cubs are, by the way.
Yeah.
As opposed to the White Sox, 20-14 or something like that.
And then 12-0 in the same day. Yeah, 32-14 they lost.
That's really sad.
It sure is. It sure is. But they won their last two.
Oh, bravo. Oh,
yeah, consolation prize there.
Cubs are only 4 out in the loss column.
Ah, they're looking good at the break.
They are looking pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see Soriano was overlooked for the last starting position for the outfield.
Oh, is that right?
For Barry Bonds, who is batting a .240.
Oh, that's absurd.
13 home runs. He's doing horrible this year, Barry Bonds. So Soriano should get the start.
How is that picked? Is that the voter? Is that fan picked?
Fan picked. Absolutely fan picked. But two things to remember. San Francisco's hosting it this year. And Barry Bonds is Barry Bonds. So
right.
I think it's kind of a hometown favorite there.
Only 13 home runs this year. He must not be taking steroids anymore.
I think they banned that from Major League Baseball. So, yeah, what a difference that might make.
All right, on to the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. To be honest with you folks, I can't remember if I've mentioned this one before, but it deserves re-mentioning anyway if I haven't. And that's Senator Joe Lieberman's pronouncement that he thought that what we need in this country is a lot more surveillance cameras. Like England has. England's doing such a great job. So let's have more surveillance cameras out there, folks. And it won't really harm your real privacy. What the hell? If that isn't right out of George Orwell's 1984, I don't know what is.
Uh-huh.
This guy's a total... Well, I think Lieberman is probably wrong on more issues, from my perspective, than I think any senator I can name. And he, of course, he's number one in support of the war in Iraq. Lieberman beholden to the Israeli lobby, I'd have to say. So just let's have more government, more surveillance, and let's just totally take away any smidgen of privacy we have left in this country. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Not in the United States of America I grew up to know and love, for the most part. Okay, we are going to have a guest on today. His name is Reverend Anthony Williams. He is considering running for the vice president nomination for the Libertarian Party. And we will discuss libertarian issues with him at 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410, and we will be back after a few messages.
Thank you.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings and thank you for your support.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I would like to welcome to the program right now Reverend Anthony Williams.
Good morning. How you doing? Great.
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm glad to be alive. It's exciting times, despite what's happening in our nation.
These are very exciting times, and you have the exciting prospect of possibly running for vice president for the Libertarian Party nomination.
Yes, sir.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, you know, I ran for United States Congress, 2nd Congressional District, against a gentleman named Jesse Jackson, Jr. Got a good response as a third-party candidate. I recognized then that this is an opportune time in this country for a third party to emerge. I think the Libertarian Party perhaps could be the party. And I think that the Libertarian Party as a whole has got to become more assertive and tactical in letting the American public know of their existence.
Okay. And why do you want to run, though? I mean, I see what you're saying is you think maybe the Libertarian Party is your vehicle. But
well, Christina Smith is I'm supporting her for President of the United States through the Libertarian Party.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful, qualified woman from the great state of Colorado who knows the issues.
She's very good at the issues, yep.
Very good at the issues, and so I support her. I think we share many of the same insights and some of the same values as relates to some of the major problems that are affecting our country. I feel I have a body of work and I have something to offer in terms of serving this country. But also, too, I want to keep emphasizing, I think the libertarian community needs to understand that this is a time in history that they must take advantage of.
How should the Libertarian Party take advantage of it? You mentioned we should be more tactical, we the libertarians, I should say. How is that? How do you do that? How do you become more tactical, and how do you make use of the opportunity?
Well, I think the local... It starts locally. I think local libertarian parties need to get involved with their communities, door to door, the old-fashioned way, block by block, letting people know that they have some alternatives in this country. I think at the national level, those who are in leadership, I'm not saying that they're not committed, but they've got to look at these opportunities in American political history and strategically work towards getting the Libertarian Party in the minds of the American people. I mean, everybody has to step their game up, you know. Everybody has to, it's just like preparing for a baseball game or a football game or a basketball game or a hockey game. When you prepare for championships, you have to step your game up.
I hear you, Reverend. I'm just not quite sure what you're asking, what you're expecting. I think there are many libertarians that have stepped their game up for a long, long time in presidential bids, and it's fallen woefully short. I'm wondering whether or not we, the libertarians, have enough activists to run a very active presidential campaign at this time.
Well, you know, I think it's still yet to be seen. I think some things are going to happen in this country, particularly with Christina's candidacy. You know, I'm going to do a lot of things as much as I can in Illinois, particularly to expose her to other ethnic communities. And I just feel that, you know, if we read the tea leaves, I think this is the time in history for the Libertarian Party to be able to come forth as a third party, as an alternative to the two-party system. You know, I mean, you know, you have the same rhetoric from the two-party system. And I thank God for democracy. I thank God that as a libertarian we have things like freedom. I thank God for the Constitution. But since I have embraced becoming part of the Libertarian Party, I know there's much more that we can do. So don't try to complain. I just do my part. And when you talk about the major issues in America, is the domestic issue in energy. Major issues. The domestic issues are the major issues. People are concerned about the bread and butter issues, and you don't hear people talking about that, not elected officials. It's too realistic.
Well, I think a lot of people are concerned about the war, too.
Well, of course they're concerned about the war, but the meantime, people still have to pay their mortgages, people still have to educate their children, people still have to feed their families. I mean, having passed it in some of the communities in Chicago, and I mean, just common sense, I mean, basically, most Americans are concerned about their survival needs. And we don't intelligently address those needs.
And how would you address those needs?
Well, basically, right now, as a private citizen and as a clergy person, I'm putting people to work. We have a major job training program. Not only do we prepare people for job readiness, but we work through the corporate sector, the private sector, and we match people with their certain areas of expertise. If they don't have expertise, we get people jobs.
I mean, Reverend, that's wonderful, and I hope that's multiplied 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times over. But you're as a possible candidate for Vice President of the United States, you have to address the public policy aspect of this.
Oh, the public policy. First of all, when you talk about public from a national level, and an international level, and a global level, we got to stop outsourcing in this America. I mean, companies have moved out of this country. I mean, big businesses and corporations have been given tax breaks that are unrealistic. I mean, that's got to be stopped.
So you would take away tax breaks to corporations?
Wait, guess what? I would stop them from having a P.O. box in the Bahamas. Because that's what a lot of them do.
Okay. So you don't think what about individuals? Should they be free to decide to establish themselves in business wherever they want, or if they're Americans, you wouldn't allow them to go overseas to establish themselves?
Well, the bottom line is, in the global world, I'm not unrealistic. You know, we do work globally now, but see, don't cheat the American taxpayers and say that you're doing business for the good of America, but yet what you're doing on the other hand is cheating the American taxpayers. That's all I'm saying. You know, there has got to be a level playing field when it comes to, you know, corporate America and its relationship with its citizens.
So you think we should be collecting more taxes from corporations then?
Pardon me?
It sounds to me that you're saying that we should be taking more taxes from corporations, for the American people.
As long, businesses are in business to make money and to meet their bottom line. If they have some integrity, then you don't want to overtax anyone. I don't believe in overtaxing anyone. Pay your fair share of taxes.
What's a fair share of taxes?
Well, it depends on one's income.
So you believe in a progressive income tax?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're the first person who's called themselves a libertarian I've ever talked to who actually believes in the progressive income tax.
Well,
I have to say that. Have you read the Libertarian Party's pledge?
I don't believe in anything nobody says. I don't take it verbatim. I have my own mind. You know, I've read everything about the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, but I don't see how you possibly, Anthony, could be a libertarian if you believe in the progressive income tax. If you read the pledge that Libertarian Party members take, you're not. Force is not an option, and as you know, taxes are brought to bear by the force of the gun.
I didn't say force.
Taxes are by force. Definition force.
Taxes are by definition force.
So you think people should be able to just voluntarily pay them or not pay them?
I think people should be able to voluntarily pay their taxes. You should be honest. You should be honest on your tax return.
What would you do with people who do not choose to pay or file?
Well, if people don't pay or file, you have a system in place. You know, I know.
That's force. The system is force, Anthony. That's what I'm trying to suggest to you. The system in place is the IRS coming up with guns and saying your money or your life. That's force. Now, if you sign the pledge of the Libertarian Party, I don't see how you can reconcile those two.
If you understand the IRS process, and if you read very careful, and you have a tax person, then there are other avenues that you can take. It doesn't have to be as the term you use by force. I have to do that.
It ultimately is that, is it not? As Ed and Elaine Brown are finding out right now. With the feds surrounding their house in New Hampshire?
Well, the bottom line is...
Let's ask just straight out. What's your position on Ed and Elaine Brown?
Ed and Elaine Brown?
Ed and Elaine Brown. You know, are you aware of that, what's happening there?
I'm aware of that. And I think that if they believe that their position is right, then they should stand to their moral conviction.
Do you think the government should be coming there with guns to get them?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no! I don't believe that. Something's wrong with the government when you are coming at an American citizen like that. Something's wrong.
Well, my head's a little muddled right now. Do you or do you not believe that system that you say is in place should be in place as far as enforcing the collection of taxes?
I think the system needs an overhaul. I think education needs an overhaul. We need to look at our system. America is at a delicate crossroads, and those who are seeking the highest position elected position, they need to be realistic in terms of which way this country is going.
And as a candidate...
The American people are catching hell.
Reverend, as a candidate, you need to come up with the specifics on how you intend to overhaul that tax system, that enforcement system, and the education system that you suggested. I'd like to hear specifics.
Well, the bottom line is you just cannot... I can't tell you that in a short amount of time. I think, first of all, we got
a half an hour to talk about taxes, if you'd like.
I don't want to. I can talk about other things besides some taxes.
Yeah, but if we can't get past the tax issue, Reverend, then we're not going to get anywhere because that's so fundamental to the libertarian philosophy. I need to know if you're really a libertarian or not.
Well, what does really being a libertarian mean?
Well, it certainly doesn't mean supporting the existing structure of taxes and the existing mechanisms of enforcement of taxes.
I didn't say that I believed in everything the status quo puts out there. I talked about a realistic progressive tax. If it doesn't work, then I'm a flexible person.
Well, again, enforced or totally voluntarily. You can't have it both ways. That's what I'm trying to pin you down on this, if you believe in a voluntary system or if you believe in a system of coercive taxation.
I believe in a voluntary system. Now, I believe in that.
Okay, so if someone doesn't want to pay what they don't believe are fair or just taxes, or maybe they don't believe that taxes are fair or just to begin with, then you have no problem with them not paying it.
Well, the bottom line is, why do we pay taxes? I want to ask you that question.
That's a good. I think you should ask that of Washington. We pay taxes because there is a certain political faction in this country that believes that they would rather obtain wealth through force than through voluntary relationships.
Well,
and the government is the agent of that force. That's my opinion, if you're asking me.
Now,
what's yours?
My opinion basically is the same as your opinion.
Okay, so then we're getting back to the point where I don't see how you can reconcile that with believing in a progressive income tax. How would you obtain those funds voluntarily? Why would anybody in their right mind, if they work harder and earn more money, think that they should pay more money, even voluntarily, to the government?
Well, why when a person is poor, why do they have to pay?
I don't think they should.
Well,
I think that the government should be run on user fees. If you use a service, you pay for it. If you don't use a service, you don't pay for it. I don't believe in welfare for the rich. I don't believe for welfare in the middle class. I don't believe in welfare for the poor. And I obviously do not believe that the poor should be taxed and regulated to death as they are now.
Correct. And I'm in agreement with you. We're on one accord when it comes to that.
All right, we're talking with Reverend Anthony Williams, a possible candidate for Vice President of the United States Libertarian Party. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
No smoking? You should quit. Sound familiar? Habit-altering laser light therapy, Incorporated, is conducting a research study investigating the effects of low-level laser acupuncture on smoking addiction and withdrawal. Our mission is to support your commitment to become a non-smoker. In the procedure, a low-level laser beam is applied to specific acupuncture points on the body. It's non-invasive and drug-free. Call Habit Altering Laser Light Therapy Incorporated, located in the Fox Valley Wellness Center, at 630-584-3999. There will be some cost to you for study participation. Call 630-584-3999 today. See our website at www.halttoday.com. That's halttoday.com. Call 630-584-3999.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give, that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog fun. My sister's a nun.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with Reverend Anthony Williams, possible vice presidential candidate. How about we go to the phones, Anthony?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, kids. How's everybody this morning?
All right.
You know what? I kind of agree with both of you, but there's one big problem you guys forget. There's a lot of people in this country that think that the government ought to be taking care of us, plain and simple, and it's the older generation. And we can't help but, you know, with the Social Security situation in this country, there's no way a person now that's working, who's just getting out of college, is going to collect that benefits. With the amount of people growing in this country every year, especially with the illegal immigration situation, ain't going to happen. I've been quoting self-responsibility for years, even before I started listening to Kenneth. My question would be to you, what would you do to solve this situation, to get the word out, to tell people, instead of, for instance, you know, I don't have kids going to a school district. Should I ought to be paying for the, you know, taxes if I don't have kids going to the school district? You know, what would you do with those kind of situations? What would you say to people like that to change the situation so we ought not to be collecting? Hello?
Reverend?
First of all, your intelligence, your callers are very, acts very intelligent, put some intelligent thoughts out there, and I was just thinking in terms of what he was saying. I'm in agreement in terms of what he's talking about. I just feel, in my personal opinion, that we, particularly the Libertarian Party, we have got to, and I am still growing in the process. I must be honest with you. I don't want to come on your show and be a liar, look as though, you know, I know and don't know. I just think that the problems are very complex, and we're going to need people who have certain expertise to help get this country out of the maze that it's in. When he talks about those who don't have children in the public school system are in the public school system paying taxes. They shouldn't pay taxes. To a certain degree, I do agree, because of the fact when I look at the public school system, and I say it once again, I mean we are dealing with a systems rather that needs a complete overhaul. Now, how you do that? Once again, that's a challenge. That's a challenge to those who are in leadership and those who have authority over those systems.
Reverend, we need. I'd like just a one or two paragraph overview of how you would reform the educational system. No platitudes, no generalities. I want some specifics.
Well, the bottom line is, I want to talk to those persons who are dedicated to education. I think I want to talk to the experts, and I would like to get a litany of ideas in terms of suggestions from people. You know, just you saying I would do this, that's not enough. One person's idea is just not enough. You could have the greatest idea in the world, but I think that you need to talk to the educators and the experts in terms of how you overhaul a system like education.
Reverend, you're running for vice president. You say, first of all, while you're just still learning the libertarian philosophy, that's number one. I don't see why you think you feel yourself qualified to run as a libertarian for vice president when you're still learning so much. Number two, if you're running, you have to have a position. You can't just say, that's a Mitt Romney response. Oh, let me study the problem. It's very complex, and I'll study the problem. I'll have my people look over that. No, have a position and take it. If you don't have a position, you have no business running.
Well, the bottom line is, I respect your opinion, and that's your opinion. But the bottom line is that my area of expertise is not education. And so, therefore, when I talk to educators, and I talk to educators, I engage with educators all the time. And they are saying that, first of all, we need to take a quantum leap in education. I mean, I look at our math scores, our science scores. You know, how do you resolve that? How do American children compete on a global level when you have so many things inside the public school that affects educators from even probably educating? When you have children that come to the classroom with serious behavior problems, and it takes the teacher an hour to get a class just quiet down in some of your inner city schools.
Here's a simple question for you. Do you believe that the government should coercively take property taxes in order to fund a so-called public education system?
No, sir. I do not believe in that.
Okay. Great. Thank you for the specific. All right. Thanks for your call, Jeff. We have Kathleen next. Hi, Kathleen.
Oh, I'm good. This guy does sound like Mitt Romney. I appreciate anybody who wants to make the effort. But he's saying the same old, we'll look at this, we'll look at that, as you already said. And he doesn't seem qualified enough to be running as VP. So let me pose him this question, because I just opened my bank statement, and it had a new law on it. Effective July 1st, federal law prohibits use of debit cards on Internet gambling websites. To comply with the new law, as of July 1st, Amcor will block all debit card activity originating from those sites. Okay, so they just took away my right to use my debit card if I feel like gambling online? How would he react to that? Would he say that's okay? I would like his response on that question. Reverend?
Would you repeat that again, please? Will you please repeat that again?
According to this new law, you may not use your debit card on an Internet gambling website. My bank, to comply with this law, will no longer let myself or my family members use a debit card to go to an Internet gambling website. Shouldn't that be our business if we want to spend our money on an Internet gambling website? Or is that the federal government's business to tell us where we can spend our own money now, too? I mean, what they left us, I should say. So how do you feel about that, Reverend?
I'm in agreement with you. However you want to spend your money, that's your business. That's your individual right. That's your right of choice.
What type of reverend are you? What church are you affiliated with?
I'm a Christian minister, first and foremost.
Are you an evangelical?
ELCA. Evangelical Lutheran Church of America.
Okay. Just curious. So then you would be not for the right of a woman to choose what she could do with her own body. Is that correct? As far as abortion goes.
In the case where, when it's life-threatening to the mother.
Oh, so you would be okay with abortion if the mother's life was going to be in peril, but not if the mother shows like she couldn't have this child.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that doesn't even agree with libertarians, although most of the libertarians are pro-life, as you are. But we have the feeling that the government has no business telling a woman what to do with her body and also has no business funding any abortions whatsoever. Do you agree with that aspect?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to stick up for you on this one, Reverend, because I think there is an honest difference of opinion amongst libertarians on the issue of abortion. And it just really depends on how you define life when life begins.
The thing is, we agree to disagree, which is more than those other lying two parties do, because we know damn well that they don't agree. But our down to the nuts and the whole thing, we just don't want any federal money spent on anybody's abortion. If you want that, then you better go, you know, figure out how you're going to get the money. That I agree with. I'm more pro-life too myself, but I just, the government has no right telling me what I can and cannot do with my own body, or what can I ingest too. I just, personally, sir, I think we're turning into a police state. Do you agree with that feeling?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And would you try to help us overturn these unconstitutional roadblocks that are all over Illinois?
Yes, ma'am.
Where they stop you with no probable cause?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I like those parts. You need to study some more, and then maybe I'll get behind you.
What the bottom line is, I'm a student of life.
Well,
I try to study every day on something. I'm a student of life.
Oh, I understand that, but I agree with Ken where I don't think you have a full understanding of the Libertarian platform.
Well, maybe the Libertarian Party don't have a full understanding of some of how I see some things too. You know, I have the right to have my own opinions too.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got the right, and everybody has the right to react to that right.
Correct. Got no problem.
So, Kathleen, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
What about the war on drugs, Reverend? What's your position on the war on drugs?
The war on drugs has been a joke. It's been an absolute joke. It has been an absolute joke. I mean, you see the high propensity of drugs flowing into American communities every day. And so we haven't tried to have a serious war on drugs. It's a part of an underground economy, whether the American people want to believe it or not.
Well, how would you change things? What would you do to?
Well, first of all, make law enforcement serious about dealing with a war on drugs. I mean, the bottom line is protecting these borders and going after these persons that bring this harmful danger to our children and to our community. You know, once again.
So you do believe that these drugs should be illegal for adults still?
Well, the bottom line is that, you know what, as I get older and as I try to mature and look at my position, I tell you what, if you go, you know what, some drugs you ought to look at just legalizing. Because when it's just like prohibition. You know, you take the profit away from the underground economy, then they cease to exist. So that becomes a debatable issue right there. And people have talked about it in various other parties too, and just everyday citizens.
So which ones would you legalize?
Oh, you know, you have to look at marijuana in particular. I mean, you know, you're already using it for medical reasons.
Okay. All right, we're talking with Reverend Anthony Williams, possible candidate for Vice President of the United States Libertarian Party. This is Freedom Rings. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and we're talking with Reverend Anthony Williams, possible candidate for vice president. What's your position, Reverend, on Social Security?
Oh, gosh, Social Security. My position on Social Security is that, once again, you know, it needs to remain as it is. I'm kind of asking twofold. Until we talk about how we fix a broken system. Now, you know, your current president has said that he tried to push for investments. A lot of American citizens balked at that. I just think, when I look at the research and when you listen to the conversations of American people and when you listen to look at other media outlets, most Americans don't want Social Security to be tampered with. But eventually, it's an issue that's got to be addressed.
Well, certainly has to be addressed, but you say it's now, for now, it should remain as it is. I'm sure you're aware that Social Security is funded through coercive taxation, which you said you were, I think at one point in the program, you said you're opposed to.
Correct.
Well, then how do we change that?
Well, the bottom line is you had to go to the, I think something like that, something that delicate and sensitive, it's something you have to have a serious dialogue with the American people about. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Because if you say, well, I'm going to do this, somebody say, well, I might want to keep it. You know, people ought to have a choice in terms of what they would like to do with their Social Security dollars. If I want to take my money and invest in something, then I should have the option to be able to go to my government and say, the money that I've paid into the system, I want that money. Hand that money over to me because I want to invest it.
Would you say, is your belief ultimately that if a person wants to not partake in any Social Security system, and in fact, maybe not even invest in their retirement in the traditional way that people do that, that they should have, as a free American, the right to do that.
They should have that right.
Okay.
They should definitely have that right.
Okay, so it's a matter. So what you're saying is just a matter of how we get there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Have you been following the Ron Paul candidacy?
I've been following it a little bit. Ron Paul. Now I understand historically that he came out of the Libertarian Party. Is that correct?
Well, he was a Republican congressman. Then he quit the Republican Party, ran for president as a Libertarian in 1988. That didn't do too well, and then returned to the Republican Party, ran for Congress, and he's served, I believe, a total of 10 or 12 terms.
Right. So is he a Republican or a Libertarian, or is he both?
I think as far as philosophy is concerned, he's Libertarian. As far as political affiliation, he's Republican, but my understanding is he's a life member of the Libertarian Party, too. So he's a member of both.
He's a member of both.
Yes.
He's a member of both. That's real interesting.
You see, I think what his position is, you know, he tried the third party route and he saw so many roadblocks laid out by the establishment parties that he figured the only way is to use their parties as the vehicle to.
And that's why if I can do nothing else by being a part of the Libertarian Party, I think my positives is that to bring an energy to say that we can become the vital third party in this country and work extremely hard at getting people to believe this in their hearts and their minds, that the Libertarian Party can be a viable third party for those who are tired of the two-party system. I mean, that's got to be the route of this country. Because, I mean, when you really look at it, and when you look at history, the history of this country, you just continue, particularly in the last 30 years, to get the same soup warmed over.
Absolutely. What's
the... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to suggest if you want to give a website out to go ahead and do that right now.
Oh, yes, sir. It's vote, V-O-T-E, voteanthonywwilliams.com.
Okay. Well, Reverend, thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate it.
I thank you so much for this opportunity and continue to do the good work. Let us continue to talk about the freedoms that we have, the liberties that we have, and let us and I encourage American citizens to be a citizen. That's power, man. To be a citizen, to know you a citizen. To know that your voice can make a difference. One person can make a difference.
And I love your spirit, Reverend. I'd love to see a little bit more of that passion for liberty on your website.
Yes, sir.
Very, very, very little of that on your website.
Oh, well, I'll bring it up to speed. Man, I'm doing 1,000 things. I'll have somebody on the staff. We'll bring it up to speed.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
All right. Okay, folks, so we got, about half a minute left before the music?
Yeah, about 30 seconds, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'd just like to mention, as I have before, our website, freedomrings.net. There are archive shows available on that website. We do have or will have T-shirts and mugs and that sort of thing. So appreciate all your support, and we'll continue to move on and make Freedom Rings better all the time. Okay. Quotation of the week, this from Henry Gravey Weaver in The Mainspring of Human Progress. The harm done by ordinary citizens, murderers, by ordinary criminals, murderers, gangsters, and thieves is negligible in comparison with the agony inflicted upon human beings by the professional do-gooders who attempt to set themselves up as gods on earth and who would ruthlessly force their views on all others with the abiding assurance that the end justifies the means.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.